More than 2,000 years ago, God's plan of redemption altered the world forever. The power of sin and death was broken through the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That first Easter, death was defeated. True life, spiritual life, God's life triumphed. Today is Palm Sunday. So we start by coming alive to Jesus' life, which was above and beyond human understanding. On Easter, we celebrate Jesus' resurrection and come alive to his power to change our lives. The life Jesus offers to you and to me and to all of us, is reason to celebrate. It's reason to respond to God's open arms and his invitation to draw near to him. I'm so glad you're here with us on this Palm Sunday as we begin to experience the life-giving truth of Holy Week and of God's power to transform each of us into a new creation. The events of Palm Sunday, often referred to as Jesus' triumphal or triumphant entry into Jerusalem, are recorded in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That sure sign that this day was very important. It marked what we think of as the beginning of Jesus' journey to the cross. But really, that journey began long before Palm Sunday. That journey began before he started his public ministry. It began even before he arrived here on earth in that Bethlehem manger. Jesus' purpose was part of a much bigger plan established before the creation of the world. It went far beyond and what the people there that original Palm Sunday knew. You see, Jesus' journey wasn't just about the immediate circumstances. It would impact eternity. And his journey was not just about the earthly events swirling in those dusty streets in Jerusalem that day. The true significance was in the spiritual realm. And while today marked a triumphal entry in Jesus' journey, it was not human approval or cooperation. It was one of obedience to the Father and fulfillment of his plan, a plan for the redeeming of the world. So, as we look at the events that happened on that day in Jerusalem, I have three symbols that I want you to remember for this Palm Sunday. I want you to remember a donkey. I want you to remember a palm branch, and I want you to remember some rocks, okay? Three simple symbols. These are all pretty common items, but they remind us of the uncommon journey of Jesus. They represent the ways that he went above and beyond our understanding, our abilities, in order that we might come alive to his life. So, remember a donkey, a simple donkey. Now, what do you think of when you think of a donkey? Stubborn, right? That's what they're known for. And when we think of Jesus, making a triumphant entry into the Jewish holy city, it's a logical question to ask, why a donkey? It's probably not what you or I would have chosen. So, at first glance, it might seem that Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey was just a practical matter. He was tired of walking, and there was a donkey available. Not a horse. All the camels were taken at the rent-a-beast shop. Just a donkey. But the meaning of Jesus riding on the donkey went above and beyond the immediate or the practical. Even this detail and this lowly animal was part of God's bigger plan. Way back in Zechariah 9:9, in the Old Testament, there was a prophecy that the Messiah would come riding on a young donkey. Matthew quoted Zechariah when he wrote about Palm Sunday. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 7, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. Jesus specifically wanted a donkey. What might seem to us like a plan B, practical solution to the immediate situation, was actually a specific fulfillment of thousands of years of promise. Think again about a donkey. A simple donkey. And I wouldn't go so far as calling it majestic or royal. The top Roman soldiers of the day rode on fancy, majestic horses. Now, those were a show of power and position. Those said power, strength, authority. The donkey, not so much. But while the donkey can represent the humility of Jesus, the ironic twist of the story is that by riding on this donkey, Jesus was also proclaiming that he was the Messiah, the King. The dedicated Jews gathering in Jerusalem at this time for celebration of the Passover feast would have known this Old Testament prophecy. So, you see, this simple act demonstrated a connection to the past by fulfilling the prophecy. And it also pointed to the future of Jesus as king. Not an earthly king, as some imagined, but as the true king who would reign forever in God's story of love, forgiveness, grace, and redemption. The Messiah whom the Jews had been waiting for throughout the centuries. Here he came riding on a donkey. Think about a palm branch. Think about a simple palm branch. Let's talk about that for a second. Imagine, if you will, that you've loaded the family into the car. The kids cheer loudly because you are driving toward the ice cream stop. Then they can almost taste the sweet goodness. But you surprise them. You drive right past the ice cream stop all the way to the airport. Then you board a plane for Paris. The kids should be ecstatic, right? They are on a trip of a lifetime. But instead, they're crushed. They were so looking forward to ice cream. It just wasn't what they expected. It didn't fit their idea of what should happen. Okay? Most of us don't have a surprise trip to Europe in our back pocket. But the story gives us a glimpse into what happened to Jesus' disciples and the followers on that Palm Sunday. They were cheering with excitement. They thought their king had arrived. They could almost taste the victory as Jesus rode into town. Matthew 21:8-11, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. And they asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." The crowd waved palm branches, which were a traditional symbol of victory. This is where we get the name Palm Sunday. The people spread their cloaks on the road for their new king. They could almost taste the sweet goodness of freedom. Finally, their Messiah, their rescuer, had come. Finally, he was going to kick some Roman tail and overthrow their oppressors and set up the perfect kingdom for the Jews. No, the crowd would soon discover that this king wasn't what they expected. He wasn't there to set up an earthly political kingdom. Instead, he went above and beyond what the people imagined. He was a spiritual king, not an earthly one. And his victory, the ultimate victory over sin and death, would be more than freedom from their current oppression. It would be the victory that restored all of creation and made a way for every person to have a right relationship with God. He would throw off and defeat the oppression of their souls. Now, there obviously were many people who approved of Jesus when he rode into Jerusalem. They were the ones cheering. And there were many who did not approve of Jesus, including the Pharisees and other religious leaders who were threatened by Jesus' popularity. But none of them understood the magnitude of what Jesus was preparing to do. Even Jesus' disciples didn't get it. John told us so in John 12:16. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. What about you? What do you expect from Jesus this coming Easter? Are you prepared for his power and victory in your life to go above and beyond those expectations? Think about some rocks. Just some simple old rocks. Palm Sunday is really a snapshot that represents all of Jesus' life. His love, sacrifice, commitment to a greater story, to God's ultimate work. When he rode into Jerusalem, he didn't arrive in order to raise more support or to gain more approval. This wasn't a campaign rally where he was trying to make sure that enough people liked him to get elected. That wasn't his goal. And he knew what was coming. He knew in the coming days he would die on a cross. Only days later, the same crowd that was shouting, "Hosanna," would shout, "Crucify him." And yet it didn't change Jesus' purpose or his actions. Jesus' purpose was not dependent on human approval or praise. Jesus made this clear as he recorded in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke 19:37-40. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen painted rocks, and I've even owned a pet rock. But I've never heard stones actually cry out. It seems impossible. But that was just his point. The importance of the day wasn't about who sang praises and who kept quiet. It was about all of creation, which was in need of redemption. All of creation, which was held under the curse of sin and death. All of creation, which would praise God when its creator was at work in such a significant way to lift the curse and make a way of restoration for all the ultimate good he originally created. Jesus' purpose was not to be liked by a majority of the people. It was to offer the ultimate sacrifice, his own life, so that everyone, all of creation, could worship God in a new freedom and truth. Whether the people approved or disapproved, recognized or had no idea what was going on, Jesus' purpose never changed. It was above and beyond earthly understanding. Today we have the privilege of hindsight. We see what the disciples did not. We know the end of the story. And so as we watch the events of Holy Week begin to unfold, we come alive to his life, which was dedicated to God. Ways that are above and beyond our own. They were when Jesus entered Jerusalem that Palm Sunday, and they still are today. The words of Isaiah were appropriate then, and they are appropriate for us today. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." There is no doubt that God is above and beyond us in every way. Yet from above and beyond, God sent his Son Jesus to earth in a way we never would have imagined or planned or chose. Jesus came to us in humility. He lived among us in solidarity. He sacrificed everything in obedience. Perhaps the most well-known verse of all tells us, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus' life purpose was to bring God's love and life to the world. His love bridged the gap and provided a way for us to cross over into the holy presence of the God of the universe, to know him and relate with him. As Paul wrote in Ephesians 3:12, "In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." If you are here today wondering what this journey of Holy Week means to you, don't miss God's invitation. He loves each of us, and he invites us on this journey through Holy Week and into a relationship with him. It may be an unexpected journey. It probably will be a surprising journey. But what was once impossible, because we were separated from God by sin and death, is now possible when we come alive to the life of Jesus. Because of what he did, we can respond as the writer of Hebrews directed. Hebrews 4:16. "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Today we come alive to Jesus' life. As we continue our journey through Holy Week, prepare to come alive to Jesus' sacrifice through his death on Good Friday, and to celebrate Jesus' power through his resurrection on Easter Sunday. But just as Jesus entered the swirling city thousands of years ago and entered into the final stages of his work on earth, let's invite him to enter our hearts and lives. Let us shout praises of Hosanna for the Messiah King that he is. But also let us join him in humility and obedience with our eyes open and our hearts full of gratitude, let us join him in God's ultimate work of restoration, healing, and true life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we enter into this Holy Week, help us to understand the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. Help us to understand that this is nothing that we deserve, that this is nothing that we can earn, that this is a gift of grace that you freely offer with your life for the forgiveness of our sins. Help us to join you in this journey to the cross. For it's in Christ's risen name we pray. Amen.